Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louie.
And welcome back to the 11 o'clock hour. And as always, this hour of the show is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. You can call them at 1-800-955-2030 or visit them online at ky.deltadental.com. All right, Louie.
All right, name that tune. What was that? That was very rocky. Rock and or roll. Much roll and or rock.
You know, since Avery is so worried we're going to get sued, and has taken all of the lyrics out of the music, I have a hard time recognizing any of these songs.
It's Kick It in the Sticks, Brantley Gilbert. Yeah.
What's a Brantley Gilbert?
It's a person.
Oh, okay. Got it. Is that a man or a woman?
A man.
Oh.
Is it country?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he has a lot of tattoos on his hands. Look at him.
He's the one who does Bottoms Up and Small Town Throwdown.
Small Town Throwdown, Dan.
We did that one. We did one of those yesterday. I don't remember which one. So okay. We did this one today.
He's from a town. All right. Over under. He is from a town named Jefferson, Georgia. Over under 14,500 residents, Dan.
Under.
Way under. Yeah. It's near Athens, though. So probably a big Georgia guy. There you go. All right. So CFP rankings are out. Obviously, our locals, unfortunately, not going to be part of that conversation. If you missed us in the first hour, you can always go check out the podcast center. We talked a little bit of Will Levis's legacy. The good news that John Settle isn't coming back because he's obviously a huge problem.
Chuck him.
I'm with you, man.
This John Settle guy.
I mean, all you hear is just, you know, locker room cancer. I mean, just all this stuff.
That's right. Yeah. If we had some running backs, it would have been a lot better this year. Are you kidding me?
What a terrible play. Go check that out at the podcast center at ESPNLouisville.com.
That was easily the highlight on the offensive side of the ball.
Not even close. Yeah. He didn't do a good job developing Chris Rodriguez. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
all right, so CFP, and you and I have talked about this a lot because you and I have had similar but slightly different, you know, sort of predictions on these things. I've been very bullish on Michigan the whole season. You've been bullish on TCU the whole season. Where do you think we end up after this weekend? You know, they asked some interesting questions. We're now looking at an article on The Athletic. This is Nicole Auerbach, who does a really nice job over there. Lots of shakeup the last weekend because of it. You know, the LSU loss, the Ohio State losing to Michigan, and not just losing, but getting handled.
Whooped.
Yeah. At their own place. Right. You know what? Let's start with that game. Was that a... We talked earlier in the year, if people haven't been following along with us the whole year, and that's totally fine. Thanks for finding us here on Issel and Louie on 680-105.7. We talked about the Oregon loss to Georgia at the beginning of the year being a disqualifying loss
for
the postseason. Was the Ohio State loss to Michigan at home a disqualifying loss?
I think so. I'll tell you what the CFP committee is praying for, Louie. They're praying that all of the favorites win these conference championship games.
You're darn right they are.
Because if that's what happens, then there's no controversy.
Nope.
You can't make an argument for anybody else. It's Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Southern Cal.
Yep.
And it's if all four of those schools win this weekend, it's obvious. They didn't need to put a committee together to come up with that matchup. I said all along that I thought the loser of the Big Ten game between Ohio State and Michigan would have a chance if it was a close game. That wasn't a close game.
It was not a close game.
And I don't know. I don't know. And that's why I said yesterday, I thought the game that people have, Clemson fans have to be shaking their head. If Clemson wins that game against South Carolina, they're still in the discussion.
I know.
They're still in the discussion because if Southern Cal loses to Utah, then who, if Clemson wins that game and the only loss they have is that debacle at Notre Dame, then who do you put in? Ohio State, who just got beat by Michigan at home,
right,
or Clemson? And I think you can make a heck of an argument for Clemson. So of all the teams, you know, that lost on Saturday, I think that's the most disappointing one.
Interesting.
But I think that if Southern Cal loses to Utah, you know, it comes down to Alabama and Ohio State, and I think you have to put Ohio State in over Alabama.
Interesting. I think Alabama's losses are less bad than Ohio State's one loss.
Alabama's lost twice.
I know, but it bothers me less that they lost by three in a wild game at Tennessee, like literally a generational game, and then they lose on a two-point conversion to close the game at LSU.
Right.
Those don't bother me. Ohio State got dismantled on Saturday. Very rarely is there a score like that, and it's absolutely representative of what the game was. Michigan was that much better, period. And so the only thing I disagree with in the rankings here, I would have TCU number four. I think USC is better than them right now.
Mm.
And I think Michigan-USC would be a wild game.
Yeah. No, it would. It would be. I mean, Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
He probably should.
But I'll tell you what, the kid that plays quarterback, and I know it was Iowa State, but the kid that plays quarterback for TCU, he should be in New York too. He should be in the discussion for the Heisman because he's a pretty good quarterback.
Yep. Yeah. Now there's several in this route. I think the only team we haven't talked about here is Tulane. And the only reason we are really rooting for Tulane is because of the quarterback, Mike Pratt.
Yeah.
Got the job done. You and I were both right about that. Went up to Cincinnati.
Yep.
Spanked that bottom, right? Got out of that one. And so it looks like they're going to be the G5 at-large team if they can get through Central Florida again. And so they're playing in I think they get that game at home in the AAC. I think that's how that works, which is good for them. But
okay.
So which of the teams are you most worried about this weekend between Georgia against LSU, Michigan against Purdue, Texas Christian, TCU against Kansas State, and USC against Utah?
TCU and Kansas State.
I agree with you.
And the reason is, Louie, I think if Georgia loses to LSU, I still think they're in the playoffs. If Michigan loses to Purdue, I still think they're in the playoffs. If TCU loses to Kansas State,
they're out.
They might not be in the playoffs. So, so that's why. And I'm cheering for TCU. I don't know why.
I don't think it. You don't have to do that. Like, I was rooting for Michigan on Saturday because I've been topping them all season on this ridiculous show. And so, you know, it's fine that's what's happened is early on you saw something you liked about TCU and how they play and Sonny Dykes and whatever else. That's fine. Like, that's what we do during these seasons. If you're, you know, if you're like you, if you're a Kentucky guy and your team stinks, or if you're like me and you're Michigan State and they really stink, you know, you find other places to try to go, you know what? My team's not good. I'm going to watch the other teams and figure out who the best team is amongst the others.
The reason I identified with TCU early on was I love a team that figures out a way to win when they're not playing good.
Totally agree. And that's them this season,
no
question.
They've had several games. That Texas game, the first half of that Texas game, they were pitiful and still figured out a way to win the game. And so I like that. And I think that Coach Dykes, I think, has done a terrific job. He had a tough legend in Peterson to follow in there.
And 2 decades,
Yeah, and I think they just figure out now. I think that is a guy that does have a statue, but I think they just figure out a way to win games, and I expect them to figure out a way to beat Kansas State on Saturday.
I think that's a guy who has a statue. I love it. What are your rankings right now? Then top of the CFP. Do you have Georgia number one?
Yes.
Have they been better recently than Michigan was on Saturday?
No.
Okay. I agree.
Nope.
It was that kind of performance, right? Like,
yeah,
we're not overreacting.
But,
right?
But well, wait a second, Louis. If you're going to point out one game for Michigan, then I'm going to point out the Illinois game.
Oh, I totally agree.
When they were lucky to win at home.
Totally agree. What I'm getting at is it's as good a performance as we've seen this year. Yes.
No question.
Okay. Is it as good as Georgia against Oregon?
It's better.
Okay. Interesting.
It's better.
Because Oregon's not as good as Ohio State, right?
Right.
Okay, I agree with that. I'm trying to think of another performance on the schedule. USC against Notre Dame this last weekend was, I mean, did you see at one point, USC was winning by 14 or 17, I can't remember, and Notre Dame's quarterback was something like 15 for 15 or 16 for 16. And it just didn't matter.
Well, when you play Southern Cal, you can't take a possession off because they're going to score every possession.
It's unbelievable.
And if you miss out on a possession or two, then you're in big trouble because they're going to score. And you know what's interesting, Louis, is you look at some of these programs, some of these high profile programs, and how quickly, and I guess, again, this goes back to the transfer portal. Mm. You don't have to recruit a kid and wait 2 or 3 years to see if you made the right decision. I mean, you know, Lincoln Riley gets Caleb Williams. And they're in, if they win this Saturday, they're in the football playoffs. You look at, was it the Oregon State coach? Look how he turned that program around. Look at Kelly at LSU. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to turn these programs around anymore.
So texter on the text line, 437-9680 UPS jobs text line, disagreeing with me. Louis, that's a bad take on Alabama. They needed the refs to save them when they were losing to Texas. The losses matter. Also, if you look at Alabama's schedule, they only have wins against teams with four or more conference losses. You know what? That is a good argument. That's a good argument. I'm not going to find a texter on that one. That's a good argument.
No.
I think that Alabama's a better team than Ohio State right now, but I get it. The totality of the resume does matter. I understand. So that's what I'll say.
How you said earlier you thought Southern Cal was better than TCU right now. So
right now.
What's your if all four of these teams win, then the matchup's probably going to be I don't see how Southern Cal jumps over TCU when TCU will be undefeated. And so you would rather see a Michigan Southern Cal. But who knows? Maybe Michigan goes to number one. I don't see that happening either. But
I agree that that's
a possibility.
It's possible. I think it's very unlikely that ends up happening. But I would go Georgia 1, Michigan 2, USC 3, TCU 4.
So you'd rather see Southern Cal play Michigan as opposed to Georgia? You think that'd be a better game?
It would be, but I don't. That's not why I quote unquote want it. I just think USC is a better team right now than TCU. Period. Empirically, not a matchup thing in the playoff. Like I think we have to not worry about that. I do feel bad. Whoever plays Georgia has to go play the game in Atlanta.
The only argument I would make is you look at Georgia, you look at Michigan, you look at TCU. Those are balanced teams. They are really good on offense, and they are really good on defense. What concerns me about Southern Cal is they might be the best offensive team in the country, but their defense doesn't come close to stacking up to with those other three.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that if they run into a Georgia, and I think even against a defense like Michigan, who just shut down a very good offense in Ohio State, that they're going to have a lot of problems. And I think when they went to Utah and played against a good defense, they lost, right? That sort of thing. Yep. And so I think there's a chance that happens. But I also want to say, like, I think if TCU went to Utah, we'd both pick Utah. Is that fair?
Maybe.
Pretty good growing out of you there.
Maybe.
So I just, no, it'll be interesting. I think this is as fun as it's been at the top in a while, because I really do feel like for the first time in a while, the Big Ten might actually have a team that's competitive in the playoff. Mm. And that Southern Cal has a legitimate All-America type offense.
I've got a theoretical question here for
you. Ooh, theory.
What happens? McNamara, the backup quarterback at Michigan, has already said he's going to the transfer portal.
Sure.
He's bye-bye. So what happens at Michigan-Purdue? McCarthy gets hurt in the first quarter and can't play. Who's your backup quarterback?
McNamara. This happened at Indiana this year. Do you know that, actually? Jack Tuttle, he was a team captain, in October announced he was going to the transfer portal. And then had to go play because Connor Bazelak got hurt. Oh, this is the new reality, Dan.
I don't like it. Remember?
I understand, but you got to remember too. Like you had to have teammates at some point in the NBA who told you, "Man, I am not re-signing here this year, next year." But still went out and played really hard. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were playing for a contract.
These kids
are playing. No, they're not playing. Well, maybe they're playing for NIL.
Yeah, they're playing for a contract.
Remember when Fisher was the Michigan basketball coach?
I do.
He announced that he was going where? Arizona? Someplace out there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Steve Fisher. And Bo Schembechler said, and he thought he was going to stay and coach Michigan in the NCAA tournament. No, was it Fisher that left, or was it Fisher that got the job?
Fisher got fired.
Who left Michigan?
Beilein?
No.
How long ago, Dan?
Well, Bo Schembechler was the athletic director.
Okay.
So, anyway, Fisher may have been the guy that stayed. And anyway, Bo Schembechler said, We're only going to have a Michigan man.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Coach the Michigan team, and so that's what I would do if I was Harbaugh. And McNamara has already announced that he's going in the transfer portal. He wouldn't even make the trip, as far as I was concerned.
Okay, all right.
Because we want Michigan men. We don't want somebody else's quarterback next year quarterbacking our team.
Seems pretty unfair to the rest of the kids on that team to put in a lesser player.
Hey, it was his decision. He didn't have to announce it until after the game.
It's pretty crappy leadership.
He chose to announce it yesterday.
It's pretty crappy leadership to hang out 80 kids to drive to prove a point to one kid.
Yep. He's not a Michigan man. He's not a Michigan man.
Oh, this is this little Louie taking you
curb.
Kick him to the curb.
V show
after
out of here.
True Crime Tuesday, 11:30. Avery Dill is going to wow you with Firefest. It's Firefest? What is it called?
Yeah, it's called Firefest, and I've heard of this thing before. Yes, we have a dude to shame and question his sanity.
I'm half convinced Avery actually doesn't like. Is it Bill Frieder? Is that who you're thinking of?
Yes. Billy McFarland.
Yes.
Yeah, so Billy Frieder left Michigan and Fisher coached in the national championship. Thank you.
Exactly.
No, this person, by the way, listens every day. Listener, totally appreciate you ending in 52. You're very much appreciated. I actually text back and forth to this person on the text line. I'm half convinced you do this, Avery, so you can just yell shame at people.
Well, sometimes you just got to shame the people involved.
Man,
and this is one of those guys who's just a straight idiot. That's a nice way to put it.
I was a little disappointed in this one, Avery. Nobody gets burned alive. Nobody gets murdered. Nobody gets hit with an axe. I was a little disappointed. This is pretty mundane for you, Avery.
All right, so
it is mundane.
So Bill Frieder, who's 80 years young, and he played at Michigan, took the Arizona State job.
Arizona State, there you go.
And Michigan athletic director at the time, Beauchamp Blackler, ordered Frieder to leave immediately and named top assistant Steve Fisher as the interim coach for the tournament. They went on to win the national title.
Yeah, and I can still see the clip of Bo Schembechler saying, we're going to have a Michigan man coach this team.
That sounds right.
Yep.
Man, that team. God, they were good. They were really good. That was the Glenn Rice Michigan team. That guy could play, man. Holy hell, I hated that guy growing up. He was one of those guys out of Flint, and I don't know if you follow much of this stuff, Dan, but just the basketball factory that Flint was for 20 years with guys like him and Morris Peterson and Mateen Cleaves and Jason Richardson and, I mean, all those guys that came out of Flint. I mean, just unbelievable number of guys that came out of that town and played basketball. But
it was the water, I think, Louie, that made him such great players.
It's a lead and water joke, Avery, if you were wondering what Dan Issel just did there about Flint. If you ever want to know what the end of an empire looks like, go to Flint. No, I'm serious.
That's sad.
There's a lot of towns like that up where I grew up, for sure. So, It is what it is. But all right, so if Kentucky goes to a bowl game, which they will, and you are, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, you are now coming to my opinion that we'll have a same plan in this thing. Where do you think they end up, and do you care where they end up?
I don't care where they end up. I especially don't care if Levis doesn't play. And if it's the Music City Bowl, I will be watching the Kentucky-Louisville basketball game.
Did you hear Blankenbaker this morning say that he's not going to watch the UofL-UK basketball game?
Well, I don't blame him.
You don't want to crush him for that?
I don't blame him for not. I'm still waiting for that text after he told me on Friday night that, Avery, did you give him my number?
Give who your number?
Don't you listen to this show?
I do.
Blankenbaker.
Oh, no, I did not. I can, though.
No. No, he's already got it. And I'm trying to figure out how he got it.
It wasn't me. Could it have been Process?
He texted me Friday night.
Could it have been Process?
Maybe. Let's blame somebody that's not here anymore.
It wasn't me. I can very
could
easily
it have been
see.
Process?
That's great. I don't know. It seems like a Process thing to do.
Is there any more letdown of a bowl than Purdue, South Carolina on January 2nd in the Citrus Bowl? Like, just Jeff Brohm and Shane Beamer.
That'll be a little one-sided. Oof. That'll be a double-digit line for sure.
Man. Illinois and LSU. God, the Big Ten is so. Because three of the teams are likely to make the New Year's Six between Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. The next tier of the Big Ten is so
terrible.
Down. It's so bad.
Terrible.
They're going to get crushed in bowl games.
Terrible.
Man, oh man. I'd be like, Ohio State might go win their bowl game, right? And then, you know, who knows what Michigan will do in the playoff if they make it? And then Penn State, they're showing against Tulane in the Cotton, so there's another chance for another win. But like, once you get to the next level, it's like Big Ten number two, Illinois. Well, they're really number five, right? It's so like it's oh.
Yeah, who wins that game, Louie? LSU and Illinois. Oh my goodness! I did see, and I shouldn't bring up something when I don't remember the kid's name. But I saw that there is a lineman at Penn State who is projected to be a first or second round draft pick.
Sure,
and he announced yesterday, I'm coming back to Penn State.
Oh wow!
I love going to college. I'm gonna start working on my master's. And I love decisions like that. The kid's having a good time. He enjoys Penn State. He's getting an education.
Probably get some NIL money.
Yeah, and the NFL will be there. I don't think they're going out of business. I think they'll be there next year. And I love stories like that.
Well, I think we watch this on the basketball side, especially with guys who are, you know, marginal second rounders, maybe not getting drafted. You know, a guy like Oscar Tshiebwe, everyone jokes like, oh, no, he's not going to be here next year. Why would he not?
Exactly.
If there's $3 million and he gets to be a god, and go on church tours and whatever else. I mean, like, why would he not? I mean, yeah. I think that's a super underrated thing that's happening right now, especially with NIL. So I imagine that kid can come back. There's a bunch of boosters at Penn State that are like, hey, man, it's worth $2 million to us to have you back, anchoring at left tackle or whatever. You know, and he's like, heck yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, being a second-round pick in the NFL is a lot more different.
Money. I hear you.
I mean, that's a second-round pick in the NFL, that kid's going to more than likely be a starter. If he's a second round pick,
and it's $10 million, I agree with you. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So
reminder too.
For him.
I'll look his name up in the break. We'll get to True Crime Tuesday next. A reminder: we talked about those games. It is Championship Week on ESPN Louisville Friday night. All ESPN Louisville stations, USC, Utah. That's a 7 p.m. start for the Pac-12 Championship, and then on 680 on Saturday, you get the SEC Championship at 3:30, Georgia and LSU, and then the Big Ten Championship. Purdue and Michigan at 7:45. Those are on 680, 105.7. And then the ACC Championship is over on 93.9 at 7, Clemson and North Carolina. All of that is presented by our friends at upsjobsky.com, upsjobsky.com. On the other side, we'll do some True Crime Tuesday. Get out your glow sticks, kids. It's time to go to the Fire Fest next on 680, 105.7.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on a Tuesday. Someone calling the show, which is always fun, here at 680 105.7. Reminder, we do have the NFL on our air. Starting on Thursday, Patriots Bills 7:30 on 680 105.7 and on the app 93.9 joins at 8 o'clock. And then Sunday, Titans-Eagles is the early game, 12:30 pregame here on 680-105.7. And then Colts and Cowboys, this is another one where we have the local feed and the national feed. The Colts feed will be on 680. It's the night game starting at 7:30. And then the Cowboys national feed, Westwood 1, is on 93.9 The Ville. So, again, Saturday, Sunday, if you're driving around, we'll have all the football for you ready to go. But it is Tuesday, and it is True Crime Tuesday, whether I want it to be or not. And her name is Avery Dill, and she's going to walk you through some Fire Festival stuff, mostly to shame men, I imagine, is why this is here for shaming.
Yes, we got to shame this idiot.
But also shaming.
Yes.
Okay. Is there going to be shame?
There's always going to be shame. When someone's being stupid in a crime or any, like, the proceedings.
True crime shaming.
Then we're going to shame the person, and this person, he's just an idiot. Honestly, that's the nicest way to put it, because the other words I want to use for him can't really be said on the air.
All right, fair enough. She's Avery Dill. She's going to take us through. Go.
All right. So, Firefest, it was in April and May of 2017 over the span of 2 weekends. It's a luxury music festival, or so people thought. And it was taking place on an abandoned island in the Bahamas. Like, yes, let's go to the Bahamas, you know, like, let's do it. So Billy McFarland, he was the primary organizer. He's like, he is the guy. But he's an idiot.
No, he's just a fraudster.
He is. He is literally a serial fraudster, according to the FBI agent that had to get involved.
Yes, correct.
So good on you, John Cassell, or however you want to say your last name. Good for you, John. You called him out. So he's 25 years old. He's 25. He dropped out of college after his first year, and then he decides to present himself as a successful serial entrepreneur. And you're 25. It's very rare you're going to have multiple businesses that are extremely successful at the numbers you're telling these people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why they were so impressed and, like, not skeptical, I don't know. There were some who were, which I got to applaud them for that. But, like, what made you think that was a good idea, Billy? Why? What? And so he had literally said that the rapper Ja Rule, however you want to say his name.
Ja Rule.
Yep.
Dan, do you know who Ja Rule is?
I don't.
Okay. Keep going.
All right. Was that he was a co-organizer in the festival. His name was really just used as one of, like, to help promote it. And that's what Billy was doing. He was using all of these famous people to promote Fyre Festival. And, like, he even used celebrities like Kendall Jenner, Hailey Baldwin, Bella Hadid, all them. They posted on Instagram.
Whoa, you left out the best one. What are you doing?
I said all three on there.
Ooh, Emily Ratajkowski. What are we doing?
Oh, yeah. She's on there. Oof. I just can't say the last name, so I didn't even attempt to.
Well, Emrat.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, he used all of these people, said, like, all you really need to do, post one little thing on Instagram, you're good to go, we're going to pay you, like, $250,000 for each one.
Yep.
And they did not get paid. But they believe that this was actually happening.
Shocker. Yep.
They truly thought this was happening, so they saw no reason to not promote it. And then, so tickets for Fyre Festival, they started at $500, went up to well over $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it makes sense. Luxury festival, like, you're going to pay money. And it was really designed for, like, the rich people, but it was more ordinary people who were going instead of the rich. And so these poor people, they spent a lot of money. They basically spent a whole paycheck, if not more. I know it's a whole paycheck for me. to literally go on this trip and everything. So they show up and they discover that there's mattresses on the floor inside tents. Some of them were left out in the rain, so they're soaking wet. Their luxury meal, bread with cheese and a salad. Like, yes, luxury. We love it. And they were supposed to be staying in villas. Really nice villas. And, well, none of that was there, except for tents and mattresses and bread on, like, cheese on bread.
Sounds like lunch at the Issels.
I don't see any mention of salami in here at all.
Nope. They were too cheap for salami. And so people, like, instantly started leaving. Like, their luggage was, like, just being thrown out of a shipping container in the dark. No lights. Can't see anything. And one of the guests even saw the planning notebook on the ground. Their definition of luxury, 6,000 Skittles, 9,000 Glow lollipops. Luxury. We love it. You know, that's what we want. And they, like I said, the first weekend of this event, April. They started work, like, actually working on it in February of that year. Like, no. No, that's not enough time.
Right.
And then this should have started at least the previous April at the very latest. And people, like, investors were saying it's not a good idea. You're not going to have it done because he went to them at the end of 2016 when his first business, Magnese's, if you want, I don't know how to say it, but we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
It was a credit card company, basically like Amex Black, like very prestigious. You're going to get all of these things at a discount or free. You know, that credit card.
Yeah, that's right.
And, but it
the
was,
one that Dan has, yeah.
Yeah. But it was literally just duplicating the original magnetic strip on their original card. So their original card is the one that was getting charged, not this new one. So started getting complaints. That one dropped off, obviously, and it went immediately to Fire Media, which is the company that he used to create Firefest. And it... He's like, yes, let's get investors. We're only a couple months old, but we're already worth $90 million. No! In the whole year they were together, $57,443 in revenue. Okay, yeah, that's totally 90,000. Like, 90 million, yeah, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. Totally.
That's not even 90,000, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
So he then gets arrested, good on the cops, and he pleads guilty to 3 counts of wire fraud, 1 count of bank fraud, and a charge of making false document statements in 2018. So it's a very fast process, surprisingly. And then he was... Earlier, he was also let out on bail, and then he decided to be dumb again. Sell tickets to prestigious events like the Met Gala, the Grammys, all of that, that he did not have. So he had to go back and plead guilty for that, too. Why do you think that was a good idea? What made you think you weren't going to get caught?
Right.
You're out on bail. And so he was sentenced to 6 years. He was let out... at the 4-year mark, so, but he was let out to a halfway house, so parole, all that. And he has the brilliant idea to go and create a treasure hunt in the Bahamas. Don't go. Don't give him your money. If you do, you deserve to be scammed. I'm sorry, but if you decide to fall for it and that this treasure hunt's going to be a good idea, you deserve to get scammed. So I'm going to shame you ahead of time if you do that. Don't do it.
Pre-shaming from Avery Dill.
Yes.
A little pre-shame on a Tuesday.
he has the idea to do it all over again.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's Firefest.
Yeah, he only knows one way to do business, Avery. Yes,
he does. That's Firefest and the idiot that is Billy McFarland.
So, been brought up multiple times on the text line that there is a fire fraud documentary on Hulu, and they're the Fire Greatest Party That Never Happened on Netflix. Which one is better, do you think?
Honestly, they're both really good.
Okay, cool.
Right. They were released literally within days of each other.
All right, so excellent text on the text line, and I hope people get this reference. And good job, Avery.
Thanks.
So was this the same organizers as the NCAA women's basketball tournament in Vegas that IU was in? Damn it, that's a good text.
That's a great text. Oh, that's funny. You know what always amazes me about
stories? I don't want
stories?
That to be funny. And good job, Amy. Thank you.
Yeah. What always amazes me about these stories, Louie and Avery, is the greed of people who are willing to believe these stories. A story like this guy, he raised now think about this. He did not have a successful business. Did these people not ask for some kind of business plan or financial statement or something? He raised with over 100 investors, 26 over the course of all of these scams, $26 million. People put $26 million into these frauds. It's just incredible.
It would be from the false documents that he made. That would be the only way that makes sense for them to even remotely fall for. But there was that one investor who said that this festival is not going to, like, be ready to go in 2 months.
You know what fraudster doesn't have a job anymore? That John Settle. Tell you what. ruining Kentucky's football program. Get that guy out of here. Going to Mars. Oh, man.
Yep.
God.
Yep.
All right, UK host Bellarmine tonight, Dan. What do you want to see? Can we learn anything from this game? 25-ish point spread. Where do you fall on all of it?
Yeah, I'm worried about this one. You know, I'd like Scotty to make it competitive, but you know, they just...
They gotta be so tired, man.
They just went to the West Coast for two games, had to fly back either on a red-eye Sunday night or yesterday. They also, Louie, are down three players. They had three players get hurt in a practice out in California. Three players within 10 minutes of practice. And so I don't know... It doesn't sound like they're going to be at full strength. So, I don't expect. I hope it's a good game. I don't expect it to be one.
So, 25.5 point spread. How would you play that if you were a gambler?
I'd have to go with Kentucky.
I agree.
Because we hammer teams like this. We struggle with good teams, but teams like this. We hammer. Although, did you read all of these games that they've played at Duke, at UCLA, obviously at Kentucky? They have covered the spread in every one of them.
Not the Duke game, right?
No. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. No.
I know
no,
they covered by like a point at Clemson, and then obviously they covered against U of L. I know they covered against UCLA.
No, they've covered in all of them. Man, maybe it will be closer. Did I see this right? The college rankings came out, and even though we beat the Osprey by 40, we fell four spots.
How about the fact that Kentucky's ranked ahead of Michigan State?
Wasn't Kentucky 15th last week?
Yeah, they dropped to 19th. Michigan State's 20th. Is there justice in that, Dan?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I'm just saying. No. What I'm pointing out is the poll is stupid.
I mean, it was overtime. It was double overtime, but they ought to be flipped. Michigan State ought to be 19 and Kentucky ought to be 20. It's not very often you win a game by 40 points and fall four spots in the rankings.
Maybe they're listening to this show.
Could be. Are those games on at the same time tonight?
Very similar. So Bellarmine starts at 7. Yeah, they're both at 7. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So how are we going to watch both of them at the same time?
I will have Louisville on my phone and Kentucky on my TV because they're playing Bellarmine and I'm more interested in that. So
yeah. I might. Don't text me the score or anything. I might tape one since that's 5 o'clock my time.
Do I ever do that to you? Do I text you scores?
No.
Okay. I try not to be that friend. We all have that friend. We really do.
Yeah, well, I didn't have to worry about Blankenbaker texting me the score of the Kentucky-Louisville game. Didn't have to worry about that one.
So I can't tell if you're mad about that.
I'm getting to the bottom of this. I'm going to find out who gave Blankenbaker my number. That's totally uncalled for.
Do you have any idea how long he's had your number? Because that could answer questions.
That's
I'm
true
just
too.
Saying.
I wonder if, are you well, in the are you in the directory around here, Dan?
I better not be. I can't think of one guy down there outside of the two of you I want to hear from. I better not be.
Jack Grossman once in a while?
Oh, yeah. Jack's got it. Jack's my buddy.
Oh, man. Oh, good Lord.
I even loved Jack 80 pounds ago, so.
He's the anti-Sid Curry.
How come he hasn't? We haven't had any sports updates the last couple of days. You What's going on?
He is not here right now. Is he testing equipment? Where is he?
He is at an appointment. But yesterday he was busy getting things done before testing equipment.
Yeah.
So he's just like crazy busy.
Well, you tell him that I don't care how crazy busy he is. His top priority is SportsCenter update on Issel and Louie.
You tell him. Dan just directing traffic from Denver. Just all right, here's what everyone needs to do in Louisville. Listen. you tell that Jack Grossman. Get your butt in the chair and do those SportsCenter updates.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right, evidently,
to answer your question, Avery, he must have just got it recently because that was the first text I ever got from him. Hmm. So
I'm going to look to see if you're in the directory here because that would answer a lot of questions. Oh, man, that's great. I know your face is on the advertising packet for this place.
Really?
Yeah, but so is mine, so that's not really a distinct honor of any kind.
Yeah, well, I hope they haven't used too recent a photo.
I hear you. The thing about it is, yo, this is radio. I don't think people want to know what we look like. That's a
so yesterday after the show, when I was doing FaceTime with Sweezy and with Miss Dill, I had to do FaceTime so they could see what the settings were on my phone.
Sure.
And so I wear in the morning when I first get up and it's chilly, I put on a Denver Nugget sweatshirt.
Sure.
That has to be 25 years old. I mean, the sleeves are all ratty and torn, but it's got a nice Denver Nugget logo on it. And the first thing Sweezy said is, "Oh, how long have you had that sweatshirt?" So I'm not doing FaceTime anymore.
I got to say, the last thing you said to him was great.
Oh, boy.
Asking him what was on his face.
Yeah.
That was great.
Did you ever have a mustache or a beard, Dan?
I tried to grow a mustache one time, and it was a pitiful effort. Me and facial hair just don't get along. I guess that's a good thing. I didn't start shaving until I was about 14 years old, and even to this day, I don't have to shave every day. But I tried to grow a mustache one time, but
17. First shaves at 17. Took me forever. I'm with you though. I don't really have to shave every day either, and I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, but I asked Sweezy what that stuff was on his face. I didn't know that he had gone full beard on us.
Well, that's been there for about 5 years. So the thing you need to know about Sweezy that I think you'll appreciate is when it was time for Pratt's memorial. He got a very nice haircut and a very, very close beard trim for that event.
Yeah.
Cleaned it up. So there you go.
Yeah.
But that was because he wanted to meet Cal. You know how it is.
Yeah. Cal, at Mike's memorial, everybody that went back into the family and friends room, Cal was kind of like the greeting committee. Did you notice that?
Of course,
he stood out in front and shook hands with everybody that came through the line. So
that's how I got to meet Cal. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we've got Maryland. We got Louisville covering and Kentucky covering, right?
Yes.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I'm giving the points at Maryland, and I'm taking the points at Kentucky. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
we'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We hope you are, too. This has been Issel and Louie on ESPN 680, 105.7. And, Louis, good luck on your sales call. Tighten that tie up.
I've made this is just a maintenance thing. Don't worry about it. I, I just get paid for showing up. So don't worry about it.
Good. Okay. All right. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.